Victim, Survivor, Soldier, General, Part 3, Soldier. I've been using examples from martial arts to describe the process of recovery. So far, I've covered the first phase, the victim, and the next, the survivor. But to make this entire process of recovery more clear for readers, an example of the soldier stage is best demonstrated by the classic film, The African Queen. Rose is a missionary and Charles is a ne'er-do-well steamboat trader in Africa. Both live on the Ulanga River. As World War I begins, German soldiers upend both their lives. Native-born Africans are all forcibly conscripted and dragged away. In a moment, Rose and Charles lose everybody they know and their livelihoods. They see grief and suffering, but they survive it. Passing from the victim stage to the survivor stage, they seek refuge on Charles's boat, the African Queen. Charles decides they can elude the Germans for the duration of the war in the slow streams and waterways, and they have plenty of tinned food on the boat as well as fish to be caught. But eventually, led by Rose at first, Charles and Rose figure out how to use explosive equipment and other tools on the boat to build primitive torpedoes to sink German shipping in a vast lake where the Ulanga River leads. And so they set off on a journey of hardship and danger to do their bit for the war and sink the German gunboat that guards the shipping in the lake. Their journey becomes a story not just of their growing love for each other, but of their growth as human beings as they undertake this dangerous and ingenious mission. And that's the soldier stage. What sets it apart from the survivor stage is that it is outward looking. The person is no longer seeking vindication from having been made a victim. A concern about other people, a desire to do the right thing for no other reason than that it is the right thing, guides the soldier. Again, I'm not casting this in a spiritual light. From what I've seen after 9 years of documenting abuse cases, most people spend most of their time in the survivor stage and few get to the soldier stage. One reason is that some people never form the conscience and awareness necessary to view themselves as part of a greater whole. They want to get over their abuse, build a good life, and live happily ever after. And some people succeed at that, and that's as far as they get. Since that's what they want, they go no further. Being a soldier is not defined as fighting abusers, though soldiers do fight abusers, but so do survivors. But a soldier acts on behalf of others, and the survivor acts on behalf of himself or herself, even when combining forces with others to combat a common enemy. It's a question of what motivates the person to act and to persist. The soldier acts from conscience, and the soldier has a more refined and developed conscience than the survivor. And that developed conscience also means that the soldier faces plenty of inward battles. All people who go through significant abuse carry that pain with them for the rest of their lives. If they get on a good path of recovery, they learn to incorporate their suffering into their lives so that they can function. But the more they grow, the more they have to revisit their suffering to make it make sense to them all over again, and the soldier does this too. Indeed, the soldier struggles against all the old demons of anger, self-pity, a desire that life should be fair, grief, shame, etc. The soldier will probably go through significant doubts about Christianity, and that's actually a good sign, because that's a sign of making Christianity personal. The soldier is no longer content to believe without faith, which is what abusive religion expects of us. As anybody who has escaped from abusive churches can testify, questions were not encouraged. Tough questions were not allowed. A mindset of trying to verify the truth of the Bible was called rebelliousness. So the soldier has to question his or her faith because now the soldier must have genuine faith to continue. And some soldiers, once they question their religion thoroughly enough, no longer profess it. Like I said, my designation of victim, survivor, soldier, general is not a spiritual rating system. It's my assessment of what I've seen in victims over the last 9 years. Some very conscientious people stop professing Christ during their recovery. They are acting in good conscience. I'd rather they develop their conscience and patiently bear lack of faith than continue pretending. Over time, I think some will come back to faith in Christ. But anybody who has been sexually molested as a child by Christian clergy may have to radically relearn what Christianity is. Stepping away from it may be a part of that process. After all, Christian fundamentalism cuts off its own people from the broad history of Christianity. A lot of people who grow up in church actually have no idea about Christian thought down through the ages. As the soldier loses the need to be vindicated or to justify himself or herself over abuse, the soldier may experience one of the nicest benefits of true freedom, broadening. Life is big, and life is meant to be lived. The more a person can be self-forgetful, then the more a person can enjoy new experiences, and the more a person can learn new things. The soldier, far more than even the highest-end survivor, begins to see himself or herself as far more than a person who was abused. Indeed, the soldier realizes the truth of being far more than just a survivor of abuse, and in the soldier stage, a person may leave the legacy of abuse entirely behind. For there's a lot of good to be done in this world, and some soldiers turn their attention and desire to do good to other pursuits. I know one woman who lacked education, had very little money, and for years could not win against the pastor who sexually abused her. The church sided with him. As the years went by, she got on with her life. But she paid for the training required to be a school bus driver for special needs children. This was a huge expense to her, and the resulting pay raise from the other bus drivers in the school system was minuscule. And yet she found great meaning and value in assuring that her children had a safe bus ride each day to and from school. She kept track of them, and she was ready at the first sign of trouble to act as an advocate and guardian of any special needs child on her bus. Whenever new training or refresher courses were required, she took them, and she was willing to bear the expense, for she was determined to do some good thing with her life. One day, as she pulled up to a light, her former pastor, who had sexually assaulted her when she was a student in his Christian school, crossed the street in front of her. She told me that she remembered something her aunt had told her. "Keep your head up high if you ever see him. He did the wrong. You didn't do the wrong." So she fixed her eyes on him as he crossed the street. It left her shaking, but when he saw her, he put his eyes on the ground and scurried by. As the Lord would have it, a year or so later, his evil did catch up to him, and he went to jail. But she had won against him well before then. What characterizes the soldier, no matter where his or her faith falls, is the quest to do the right thing, even over having the right religion. In spite of setbacks and side trails, that ultimately is the insignia of the soldier, a pursuit of what is right because what is right is so much better than what is wrong. So the key word for the soldier is not strength or power or even victory in his or her battles, but conscience. The soldier has a conscience.